Welcome back in episode 16 of Breaking the Plane. I'm back in the saddle again.
Welcome
the
back, main
host seat.
Welcome back, Burge.
Couldn't be happier to be back here after the month I've had at work. So glad to be back talking with you, Joe. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm pumped to be recording. Pumped to have you back. Had a lot of good football last week. A lot of good football to come. It kind of sucks that we're coming to that point on the schedule where it's like just going to be like regular season, like down the stretch, like football. I mean, hockey and fucking and basketball. So I'm like, the football season flew by, and I just like want to cherish these last couple games.
We only flew by.
Flew by, bro.
Always does. It always does. And the only thing that saves us is hockey and football, hockey and basketball. And then once that ends, it's like it's the dark days of summer. Like, I don't care about baseball. And it's like you're just waiting for training camp to start. Kojak, how you doing, buddy?
So it ain't about me. It's about you, Birch.
Why is it always about me?
How are you?
Our fearless leader, Birch.
Fearless leader. Pal. How are you
doing, man? I'm tired.
Doing great.
I think you're running off that Bills victory of Bills loss alone.
Yeah. Absolutely, dude. I'll be honest with you. That was the most into a football game I've been all year. I brought my wife on this podcast, dude. I was standing up in front of the TV screaming, high fiving her the whole game.
That's cool. I was playing. I had men's league basketball, and I was sitting on the bench watching it on like somebody else's phone.
It was a great game. It was a great football game. You know, even if you're not
the Bills kicker, fucking blew it. That was nuts. Literally. It looked dead nuts, like right off the foot. And then halfway up in there, the ball was like, watch this.
Damn.
Dude. What did you guys hear the Korean broadcast of that?
No.
Dude, Barstool posted. So Barstool shared it. They're like speaking in Korean. The kick goes up and they're just like, whoa. Like, like just like, oh, that just happened.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so
cool. Dude, my favorite like foreign people like dubbing football was when they dubbed the national championship game with AJ McCarron, and they like brought up his stats, and it's like this British like soccer announcer, and it said like three next to interceptions, it said like three INT, and he's like, as you can see here, he's used the internet a total of three times. It's just so funny.
Oh man, yeah. Well, we'll get into those games in a little bit here, but we want to start off with coaching changes around the NFL right now. Let's get into it. Obviously, there's been some hirings of the open positions. No playoff teams that were eliminated have fired their coach just yet.
Question.
But go for it.
Sorry. How long is Bill? How long ago did we fire Bill?
Was that two weeks ago? 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah,
is this your first podcast since his firing?
No, dude, we live streamed it.
Well, yeah, we had a podcast. And then we fucking released it, and then we had a live stream after that, and then we had another podcast, and then Birch missed last week, right?
It was something like that, yeah. It's been like 2 or 3 weeks, yeah. Obviously, I was very upset about Bill being fired, yes.
Yeah. But
What's the biggest surprise hiring that you've seen so far, Joe? You got any surprise that kind of showed up?
I thought Bill was going to be more sought after. I didn't think that. First of all, I didn't think that. I don't know why this is. Everyone's be like, dude, you should have like saw that coming. But like the whole Harbaugh stuff, I thought he was going to stay at Michigan after he won the national championship. He was going to be king there, dude. So I thought he might try to be like the next Saban or some bullshit like that. But, I thought that one, I don't want to call it out of left field, but I felt that one was interesting. I think that's going to be an interesting fit. But I think, dude, Raheem Morris over Bill in Atlanta, like that's crazy. That's crazy. Shout out Shy fucking texted me today and he sent me his coaching resume and it's like a different, like, 98, he was somewhere. 99, he was somewhere. 2000, 2001, he was somewhere. 2002, he was somewhere. And then 2002 to like 2005, like he was never somewhere more than like literally 4 years was the maximum. 4 or 5 years, he was like the maximum. And it's like he's all over the place. He was like defensive coach, defensive coach, defensive coach, defensive coach, defensive coach, head coach, defensive coach. passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach, defensive coach, defensive coach. Like,
that's wild.
It doesn't make any sense, dude. It does. His resume makes no sense.
That hiring is definitely perplexing, and you wonder if the Atlanta Falcons are gonna blow another lead with that they had with Bill. If Bill ends up going somewhere and actually has a good season and wins something, so that's something to keep an eye on in the future. To me, the biggest surprise was the guy that was hired by the Panthers. Kind of came out of nowhere. Dave Canellis. I've never even heard of this guy. He was the offensive coordinator for the Bucks. They obviously saw something that was there with what he did with Baker Mayfield this year and thought, let's give him the reins. But I mean, the Carolina Panthers seem like they're just a dumpster fire poverty organization, making bad decisions all over the place, picking Bryce Young over CJ Stroud. I think they do have a new owner, but their owner, didn't he throw beer on like a
fan? Yeah, he just got fined like $300,000 or something like that.
Fuck you.
Like, it's just something, man. Like, I never even heard of this guy. I didn't even think like that guy was even in consideration for a job. And I think a lot of people that are in the national media for the NFL were surprised by that.
Well, yeah. Wasn't that how they felt about McDaniel when he got hired for the Dolphins?
Because
he wasn't even an offensive coordinator. He was like, dude, he was like the quarterback's coach or like some bullshit like that when he was with the 49ers before he got hired.
Maybe that is, I don't remember. So I can't speak to it, but maybe we're going to get another situation where another whiz guy comes in and just whips Bryce Young into shape. And all of a sudden they're like the Miami Dolphins of the NFC. Who knows?
Did you see the quote came out that Adam Thielen said that he went to the Panthers because he wanted to win a Super Bowl?
I almost just spit my drink out.
What's going to happen to him?
He's going to play football next year for the Panthers.
You're
probably
a fucking piece of shit. You know that, Joe?
Well, yeah. But no, absolute I think piece he does
dog
think,
shit.
I think he. I don't think he's washed. I think they sucked. I think he could probably be good until like later in his career. I think he's all right still.
I just think that Bryce Young is maybe going to be a bust. I mean, obviously it's too early to call that and be confident in saying that, but like he was small coming out of the draft. He had physical limitations. So we'll see what this guy can do with him. But obviously the big story is Bill Belichick. What do you think he's going to do? He doesn't get a head coaching job. Do you think he's going to retire from coaching or do you think he takes a year off?
I can see him doing the Peyton thing. Sean
72 years old, 71 years old.
That's true. Let's go to TV for you. That out.
Yeah, but doesn't everything point towards like fuck him wanting to break that record? There's no way.
I think that's part of the reason he left New England. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think Washington would be a very interesting scenario, but I don't think they're not. They don't have the pieces for him to like win, like rip off like back to back, like almost like winning seasons. You know what I mean? Like he needs, what does he need? 16 wins to get it. So 13, he needs to win like
14,
two years, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But he can't go like 4-13 again. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
I don't think Seattle has it either.
They have way more talent though.
Yeah. You got a quarterback that's functional. You got pretty good wide receivers.
You DK probably Metcalf. they have to have cap space, right? Oh no, dude, they just signed Geno to that. Remember we talked about Geno?
Million plus.
Yeah. Fucking idiots. Dude, the story about I'll bring it up again, the story about him sitting on the fucking table in the meeting with the broadcasting crew. Like, whatever. <It's> just, self-awareness is just like, it's like you'd rather be way more self-aware than like not enough self-aware. You know what I mean? But anyway, yeah, dude, I don't think Bill's kind of boxed out of the market unless something drastic happens.
I could also
see him being brought in as like a senior VP and then like them blowing out the coach and him assuming their duties like either halfway through the year or like the next year. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know. I could see him going in as advisor. He would be fucking great on TV. Like you said in that group, message, he'd be great on TV. I totally agree with that.
Do you think he was his own worst enemy in the interview with the Falcons? He wanting to have full control, bringing all his retreads back in, Patricia and McDaniels to run it back again. Do you think he was his own worst enemy there? Because I've heard reports that was what he wanted to do. do you think that that probably turned off Arthur Blank in Atlanta? Because, I mean, for me, I mean, running it back again with the same old guys, I mean, that would turn me off a little bit.
They've kind of drafted well the last couple of years, right? So I think that when you're the owner looking at that, you're like, I want a coach that's going to come in and augment what we have, not tear what we have down and start from anew. So absolutely. I bet you the owner was like, hey, this is what we want to do. Like, I think you would be the perfect coach to like do it. And Bill was like, well, I'm not going to do it unless this or this. And I think in that way, if that's what you mean by owner's enemy, I think that's definitely probably what happened. Well, definitely probably. But I think that's probably what happened. Yeah. I mean, it sucks. It's just like more shit to talk about. It's cool. I loved watching the Bucks when fucking Tom played for the Bucks. It's not like I rooted for them when they played the Patriots. I obviously rooted for the Patriots. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. It's just another cool thing that would happen.
Well, I will say this. The NFL is better, a better product when, like, Tom Brady was in the league and when Bill Belichick is coaching a team because of what they represent. I did not root for Tom Brady when he was in Tampa Bay. Like, in that Super Bowl against Kansas City, that was like my worst nightmare. That was, like, the matchup that entire season I did not want to see, because now I'm like, I got to root for Tom, who left New England to win. It's
the worst of both worlds, yeah.
Like, it's the worst of both worlds. And it would be like –
you lose.
It'd be like the Bills and the Chiefs, and you know, that was a game that was like, this is, I don't care, whoever wins, I'm gonna be upset.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Speaking of the Bills and Chiefs.
Yeah, you want to move it along here? Let's go into the division around here. We'll start with that one. Let's go.
Dude, this is the game you watch football for. You know what I mean? Dude, I was listening to Part of My Take, and they were talking about how like the whole fucking city of Buffalo comes together and like shovels out the stadium. And then the Chiefs come in and just fucking win. Like, dude, dudes are fucking crying in the stadium and shit. Oh, it's just like, you love to see it. Like Barry says, I am here for it, bro. I am fucking here for it.
Very here for this. And yes, this was the game that I had marked on my calendar all week. It was the one game where I was going to be glued to the TV and actually get into it. We were talking like a little bit earlier. Like, this was a game where like my wife, like, this was like me watching the Patriots in their heyday. Like, I was into this game. I was like, I cannot watch Buffalo and listen to it for another week. I can't do it. I can't handle it. Luckily, I didn't have to. But it was a great football game. Overall, if you're a fan of just the game, it was a great football game. You know, you got two great quarterbacks playing each other. And I think there was, what, like two punts in the game or three punts in the entire game. And it was just kind of a back and forth thing. It was great to see Josh Allen kind of falter at the end there before they missed the kick that Tyler Bass
sent to
the wide right there. But like, yeah, go ahead, talk about it, go for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's jump into the football, but like the first thing when I started breaking down this game, the first thing I went to was the three plays before the fucking field goal. Dude, they're on the Chiefs 27 yard line, a run on first down to James Cook, second and nine, deep over the middle, incompletion, the one to Shakur. And then third and nine, they got pressure, and Josh Allen had to throw it away. So they had to kick a field goal with like a minute and a half left. So couple of things here. If you're going for a field goal, you run the ball twice, right? Because they're the
100%.
The 2 minute warning wasn't until after third down before the kick, I think.
Regardless of that, they were running all over the Chiefs all game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just run the ball three times. Doesn't even matter when the two-minute warning is, because you're still going to run the same 40 seconds off the clock. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, like, you're kicking. So instead of kicking with a minute and 45 left, you're kicking with, like, closer to a minute left. You know what I mean? That gives the Chiefs a less of a chance. Dude, they scored on 14 seconds. You should be trying to give them the least amount of time possible. And even if they had timeouts to burn, you want to make them burn them. So if they're trying to kick the field goal there, you want to run the ball. Second, if you're trying to score a touchdown to win the game, you fucking check it down on second and nine, dude. What are you doing throwing? First of all, if you looked at the play, dude, I think there was four fucking pass catchers downfield. And it's just like, dude, why aren't you like running like intermediate routes there, dude? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just like they just didn't want to win the game. They didn't want to win the game. It was all right there for them. And they didn't do either. They middled it, and it fucking, it blew up in their face.
Didn't, wasn't on the Shakur throw, wasn't Diggs like wide open underneath too? Like he could have picked up the first down and could have gotten them closer to make it a more manageable kick to tie the game if it needed to be that.
Yeah.
Like Josh Allen here.
Especially in the, wasn't it pretty windy too? So it's like,
yeah. That kick, you could tell on that kick.
Why those teams never win.
Here for it.
Yeah.
Here for it. Especially with Buffalo, man. Dude, I was so happy. I was jumping up. Dude, I went at it on Twitter, dude. I was all over it.
Oh, you were having a day, bro. You were having a day on Twitter. It was awesome. Dude, it just shows that, dude, Mahomes and, like, Reed didn't have a great day, I think, but, like, Mahomes wasn't, like, great, like, in the beginning. Like, I think he missed, like, in the group chat, like, he missed a couple, like, easy red zone fucking throws, like, in the first half. But, like, it was nails when they needed it. I think the Chiefs defense showed up a little bit in the second half as well, got a couple stops. So, yeah, man, this is like everybody's a down year for the Chiefs, and they're an AFC championship game. It just goes to show like how valuable that franchise quarterback, that like super special quarterback is. Like Mahomes is that whole entire franchise. They put fucking rookie receivers and fucking back nine tight ends on the offense, and they still fucking and they still go to the AFC championship game. It's crazy.
What do you think about CBS billing this as like the next Brady Manning type rivalry?
I mean, it's almost like Brady Manning light. You know what I mean? Like Mahomes isn't quite Brady yet, and fucking Allen isn't quite Manning yet. You know what I mean? But they're in the same mold. Like, you know what I mean? You have one that has the star wide receiver. You know what I mean? And the weapons, like. And you had the other one is more like a winner and doesn't have as like many flashy weapons, like has his little trusty old tight end, but they're winning Super Bowls. You know what I mean? They're winning at the highest level. So I think in that sense, yeah, that rivalry. Yeah. But like, I mean, the Brady Manning shit was like next level. That's like two all time greats going at it. And I think that we're on the right track in this rivalry, and I'm glad it's here. You know what I mean? I'm glad there's something now.
I mean, I'll say this is more like Brady Rivers. I equate what the Buffalo Bills are right now until they win something or until Allen wins something. Like, Allen is this generation's Philip Rivers. That's where I'm at.
Well, you
got to
remember before 2000, what did Peyton won in 2006 and then he lost in 2008? Was it like that or something like that? But, like, dude, the first 6 years of the rivalry, dude, it was kind of like it is now. You know what I mean, dude? The Colts would fucking go 13-3 in the fucking regular season, and they would start like 12 or 11-0 every fucking year, and then they would lose. They would get upset in one of the first two rounds, or to the Patriots. You know what I mean, in the AFC Championship game. Besides that one year where fucking Brady threw the pick over the middle, but like, I don't know. I think you're right. As we go on, like, they're both going to have to win and keep winning at a high level to keep that like Brady Manning like mystique. But like, I think it's kind of starting the same way that the Brady Manning one started.
My counter to that is that Manning was winning MVPs.
True.
When Brady was winning Super Bowls, Allen has not won a thing, and that Philip Rivers never won a thing either. And they found a way. The Chargers back then, and even still now, find ways to lose. They find ways to lose games. That's what the Bills did on Sunday. They found a way to lose this game. And that's where I'm at personally. Not saying it can't change if the Bills figure it out. They got a lot of question marks going into this offseason. Yeah. You know, still wondering if they're going to fire their coach. I think they probably would have done it already if they were going to do it. But
I want to know what they're doing with Diggs, dude.
Dude, they're like 40-something million over the cap right now. So they got to figure
it out.
Bad contract. Horrible contract.
So bad.
And you know what? I don't feel sorry for Bills fans. Never will. they chirp me all the time. Never will feel bad. You know, that guy crying in the stands, as soon as they showed him on TV, dude, I was sitting there laughing. I was I was laughing the whole time. I'm like, that's what you get. Your owner's too cheap to pay a company to come in and shovel out your seats, and he wants you to come in and do $20 an hour to shovel out your seat. Meanwhile, the same fans are throwing snowballs at Travis Kelce in the end zone when he's catching a touchdown. They're throwing snowballs at Patrick Mahomes after the game on the field. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I get you're upset and you're drunk, but like, don't effing do that. Come on, man. Like, but at the end of the day, the Chiefs move on. And yes, we have to watch them in another AFC championship game, another road game for Patrick Mahomes, because Blockboy Joe's squad took care of business. What'd you think of that game, Mr. Sure?
Dude, the Ravens are so fucking good. Lamar played. Lamar had 150 in the air, 2 touchdowns. He had 100 on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Like 250 total yards, 4 total touchdowns, 0 turnovers. Extremely efficient game. Like Ravens ran for like 230 yards on. Like it's just good luck, good luck, good luck. Like anybody playing that team, even the Niners, dude. Like I'm looking ahead, dude. Like. The Ravens are a fucking wagon right now. They're playing really well. And I think they did a really good job. They didn't have any sacks, but they consistently got pressure on CJ Stroud, and it like disrupted all the timing because Stroud is really good. They were really good this year, yards after the catch. And I think that disrupting their timing was kind of like disrupting kind of getting some of their players in space. So I think the Ravens defense played good. They played good all the way around. They're scary right now for sure.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. This game was a little bit in doubt early on. I mean, it was tied at half 10-10. And then second half, they just took off. And that's a dangerous team that can do that and adjust on the fly when they have a really down first half and just to be able to just take off in the second half. They're a dangerous team. Kudos to the Texans, though. You know, we've been real big Texans fans all year here. Nobody ever expected them to be in the divisional round of the playoffs. Looking forward to seeing what they have to do next year. D'Amico Ryans, if he doesn't win hit coach of the year, he better be like the runner up, like what he's done with that team down there. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the Ravens are an absolute wagon, and whoever from the NFC ends up facing them, because we'll get to it. But like, I think they're going to make the Super Bowl, and whichever NFC team makes the Super Bowl to play against them, they're going to have a tough day. And it's just going to be a matter if that same old playoff Lamar ends up showing up where he can't win like that real true big game. I mean, he put a damper on that theory this week. You know, we'll see what happens against the reigning Super Bowl champion and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Imagine if we get a Ravens fucking Niners Super Bowl again, the Ravens win again. Like that would be get fucked. That sucks.
Yeah.
Imagine losing twice in a row to the same team in the Super Bowl, a couple of years apart. Damn.
Couple of years. I mean,
it's like 11,
12. Dude, I just graduated college when that Super Bowl happened. Remember when
I had just gotten to college.
Remember the lights went out in the middle of that game?
Remember that. Yeah. That was fucking nuts. Knuckin' futs. Yeah. The heart bubble.
Yep. Exactly. Let's talk about the 49ers, that Green Bay game. Kudos to Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers in this one. You know, I mean.
Yeah, they just hung in there. No, they just hung in there. I think, dude, this Brock Purdy kid, he's not it. There's no fucking way, dude. His hands are little. He's putting the gloves on, taking the gloves off, putting the gloves back on. Fucking wiping his hands off before he throws. He played like ass for the first like 95% of the game, and then he played good like in the last like whatever 5 minutes when they needed him to, or the last like 10 minutes when they needed him to. So I don't know. I think this the weakness, their team is so fucking good, dude, and their weakness at quarterback is like gonna end up, it's, they need to win 2 more games, and I'm not 100% sure they're gonna win even the first one. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a really good chance. I honestly, I'm gonna pick the Lions, but it's more with my heart. But like, even if we weren't a Lions podcast sponsored by Crisco, I would probably still be picking them because I just think they're a more complete team. I got it's coaching quarterback. You know what I mean? So coaching quarterback, I would honestly fucking give Detroit the nod there. So yeah, I love the Niners. I think this was way too close of a game. A couple of other things I have here is Love didn't look really great. He wasn't really consistent, but he did have some flashes. But he looked like a first-year starter, get under fire, kind of like on the road in the rain. So that happens sometimes. And then my last note about this game is I love Jaire Alexander. Just maybe
Swaggy.
Huh?
Swaggy.
he's just like outside of football. Like, I don't know, like what's going on there, but like, dude, just an absolute gamer. I love the way he plays the game. So shout out to the Packers, and shout out to them. Kind of just say, I guess, echo the same sentiment that you had about the Texans way ahead of schedule. You know what I mean? There's no way they should have been in the divisional round this year.
Absolutely. And you know, we said it earlier on an earlier episode here that the Packers have done it again. Yes, Jordan Love didn't look all that great in this game. That last interception, you know, when you're driving to need a field goal, was absolutely brutal. You can't make that throw. Inexperience, you know, that's what that is. I don't feel any worse about Jordan Love after this game. I mean, you kind of expect that those kind of jitters there. I definitely didn't have them. I didn't even think I had them making the playoffs, you know, at the beginning of the season, given what they lost there. So,
dude, what they started like 1-2 or 1-3 or something like that. The Packers,
they start 0-3. They might have even started worse than that.
Wow,
because there was a while there, like we were talking about Jordan Love, and I was like, okay, the Green Bay Packers have kind of fallen off, and they won their last three games to get in the playoffs. That's what they did. Yeah. They went on a stretch there. They started off. Win, loss, 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 loss. So they were 2-5.
Wow.
At one point.
7. Wow.
And they made the playoffs, and they won a playoff game. So that says a lot about what Matt LaFleur is doing there, what Jordan Love is. And, you know, again, it's hard to do the what does this say more about a team when you're talking about in the playoffs. But, like, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you have to feel good about your future right now.
100%.
The receivers and Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jaden Reed. Like, you got talent there, and it's working with the quarterback. You still have Aaron Jones running the ball. He's getting up there in age, so you're going to have to come up with some other option there.
LaFleur strikes me as a guy like kind of like Shanahan, though. They're probably going to be able to plug and play at the running back position for a while.
Exactly. I mean, they ran the ball great. The 49ers didn't impress me at all in this game. I think we were in the group chat. I don't think you were involved in the conversation, but Kojak and I, we were talking about it. And we're like, we're watching this game. We're like, the 49ers might go down in this one. And we're like, I don't want that. I want them to win before I knew Buffalo was out, because I want every talented team to beat Buffalo. But yeah, that's what it says. And if I'm a 49ers fan going into the NFC Championship game, I know you're playing at home, I'd be a little worried.
Any news on Debo?
Yay. That's a good point. Yeah, because he.
How worried are we? Are they a lock with Debo?
No.
No, like I wouldn't even say, even with him healthy, no. I wouldn't even call
my,
him a lock.
My lock might be fucking Detroit, dude. Like, I think Detroit in the points is probably the safest bet, right? What are they getting right now?
The Debo Samuel will be limited. Well, he was limited today at practice, so he's obviously going to try to give it a go.
I was limited today at work. That's funny.
He's not going to be catching.
He's not going to be the same guy. So you're going to be dealing with a half effective.
San Fran -7, dude. Give me the points in Detroit, dude. Holy fuck. Debo questionable, and then Josh Reynolds and Sam LaPorta questionable for Detroit, but I think LaPorta's going to play.
Yeah, me too. And you know, we'll see what Detroit has. I mean,
it's in San Fran.
Yeah,
it's in Fransan. Yeah,
France.
Yep. Yep. Dang. And that's the last game. Let's move on. Let's move on to that last game. Let's move on to it. Detroit, Tampa Bay.
Oh God! Break out the Crisco, baby. Let's fucking go. Let's fucking go, dude. I'm so happy the fucking Lions won this fucking game. Shout out to our Bucks fan, Max. I know we had a little thing going where we were tailing the Bucks, but we knew the Lions were going to win this game. It was kind of dicey at a couple points in time, but I think the Bucks made some crucial mistakes. Mike Evans had a good day, but he had a couple drops that were fucking huge. And then Baker Mayfield had another big day, 350 yards passing, but he did throw the two interceptions. One at the end of the game was a backbreaker. Detroit ran the ball well. Goff was efficient. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam LaPorta are a fucking problem. So they got it cooking right now. I think this team's playing really well. Strikes me as a team of Destiny type, if not to get weird, but yeah, strikes me as a team that's going to take down somebody like a 49ers. We're kind of like built like a fucking cyborg. You know what I mean? Now here comes the upstart team with the fucking crazy head coach who's trying to bite people.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. They speak a team of Destiny. The run by Gibbs for that touchdown was unbelievable. And
dude, he cut left, dude. And he just that is unbelievably game breaking speed, dude. That was unadulterated speed. Speed, Lightning McQueen, I am speed, dude. Sorry.
Absolutely.
That play. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Absolutely. They have a two-headed monster at running back. I know David Montgomery didn't run the ball well in this game, but like they complement each other so well. Like Jahir Gibbs is just a speed runner. Dave Montgomery's a little bit of more of a power back, and they make it work. And it's like, I was kind of like, when they signed Dave Montgomery, I was like, why are they doing that? Like, they had DeAndre Swift at the time, and then they take Gibbs in the draft. I'm like, what are they doing? And obviously ship DeAndre Swift out of town, and they made the right move. They made me look like a fool. I look like a fool 99% of the time. So I'm not going to argue that.
I was the opposite. I love David Montgomery, and I was like, why the fuck are the Bears letting him go? I had him in fantasy. Maybe that's why. And he had like whatever, a million touchdowns, like back to back years. So, but yeah, the fucking Lions, bro, the fucking Lions. I think, their defense showed out a little bit. So I'm glad, I think Hutchins had played really fucking well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, they got a really good shot next week, and I hope they fucking win.
I'm going to be the same way I was for the Bills Chiefs game. I'm going to be the same way about the Lions in that 49ers game on Sunday. Can't wait for it. And, you know, just to pivot a little bit about the Bucks. I mean, again, another team I didn't expect to be here. You know, to play as well that they did this year, Baker Mayfield got himself paid, regardless of where or if it's a franchise tag or what, he's going to get himself a nice bag of money. And that last interception was tough.
Tough, ended the game, dude.
And you expect it. What? Out of nowhere.
It was just funny the way he said it. Tough.
He was playing really well.
He has.
He's playing really fucking well that game.
Dude, back-to-back 325-yard-plus games.
Yeah. I was
not something I expected to see from him in the playoffs.
Not at all. I thought this Bucks team was going to go down in flames. I thought he was like the worst person they could have brought in to lead that team, but he fucking proved
that division is also fucking cooked.
Ass. Oh yeah, they did have a winning record though. They were 9-8, so I don't think they weren't deserving of a playoff spot. They were good.
The Bucks are obviously a team,
they won a game.
The Bucks are a team that have a lot of question marks as well going into next year.
Fuck yeah, they got mad free agents, dude.
Mike Evans back. Is Baker back? Like, they could look completely different.
Yeah.
So
Mike Evans wants out so bad.
He's like, I would call him like the most underrated receiver of like the last decade, because he's been so effective with what he is.
His 10th season, 1,000-yard season?
Something like that, yeah.
This is his 10th season in the league, and he's had 10,000-yard seasons to start his career.
And he's never talked about as one of like the top receivers in the game.
He did have some crazy drops that were like fucking backbreakers for the Bucks. I know he had fucking 8 receptions for 150 yards and a touchdown, but like he had some... he'd probably give a couple of those receptions away for like a couple of to grab a couple of the ones he missed.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. But you know, he's a guy that he should get paid wherever he goes. If he goes back to Tampa, if he's loyal, or if he goes somewhere else, like I said, he's got to be one of the most underrated receivers of the last decade, just based on his consistency and his performance and doing it with multiple quarterbacks. Like, he had Tom Brady for what? 2 years? 3 years, I think it was. Two or three years.
3 years.
Like, but outside of that, he had Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield.
Dubs.
Crab, yeah.
Crab.
But like,
the crab leg.
No, when Jameis Winston was eating, it was a dub. He's like, see this? This is a dub. And he starts eating it.
He's talking about like the crab leg incident. It's all in reference to that.
Oh. No.
Yes. Am I wrong?
You guys are talking about two separate things.
Okay. All right. I digress.
Porzingis is hurt. He's limping.
I think I've ever seen your head snap back so quick.
Oh yeah. he's going back. He's limping off. He needs help.
That sucks.
I think that fucking left calf again.
Hopefully he rolled his ankle. Alright, let's fuck it.
This is a football podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kojak.
I have a question for you, Burrs. You ready?
I don't even want to know if I'm ready.
What are you most excited about next year, next season? You too, Joker. It could be your Lions, you know, having another good year. It could be the CJ Stroud train. It could be whatever the case may be, what the Pats will do in the offseason, whatever.
That's a tough one for me. I mean, obviously, we're big Lions fans and Texans fans, but if the Lions win the Super Bowl, I don't know if I'm going to feel the same way. I don't know if I'm going to feel the same way if the Lions win the Super Bowl next year. But, like, you know, if they get close and lose, I'm very intrigued to see how they go next year. Obviously, the Patriots, they're like you said, you kind of named mine. The Patriots and their offseason, you know, how are they going to approach their coaching staff?
Oh, for sure. The number four pick, the number three pick, dude.
Number three pick, are they picking a quarterback or are they going to pick a tackle? Like, I'm not going to be upset if they take anybody there. I'm also not going to be upset if somebody gets horny and wants one of those three quarterbacks and decides to give the farm for more picks and make and drag this out to a couple year rebuild.
We're like, such a pro sex podcast. Been slamming. Now go Jackson. Now fucking Berg over here is horny, dude. It's just unbelievable, dude.
But like if you're a Patriots fan, like, and you respect the fact that the Patriots are not sold on who of the three of, I won't even, who of the two are left, Drake May or Jaden Daniels at three. Wouldn't you be okay with them trading out, trading back maybe to 10, we'll say, and getting another first round pick next year and mid round picks on top of that? Kind of like a Trey Lance trade.
Trading the four away.
Last time we took the last quarterback, like the last quarter, let everybody like pick their quarterbacks and we took the last one standing, we got fucking Mac Jones. So, like, I don't want Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then us get Drake May or anybody, any combination where it comes out that we get the third quarterback. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. Cause like that's like now we're having other organizations determine who we pick. You know what I mean? We're not targeting somebody and going to get them because we like them. You know what I mean? I know sometimes obviously you end up like fucking Bryce Young and shit like that. And then, but like, dude, that was a two quarterback draft. Like, you know what I mean? Like this three quarterback draft, dude, Jaden Daniels wasn't even a first round pick until like a couple months ago. So yeah. I don't know. I just want them to hit. I don't want them to just have a quarterback fall to them and just take whatever's remaining. And if it means like moving back and taking like a left tackle or something like that, like I'm okay with that.
As long as they get the position of need.
What do I want?
I want to stay at the four or you want to move up and pick someone? Or
well, we're at three. I mean, in a dream world, you would move up and try to get Caleb Williams. But like, I don't think that's fiscally responsible. We have way too many holes to give up picks to go up. So I would rather trade back. I would rather trade back and get maybe like even like Brock Bowers. Like you trade back and get a guy like that. Trade back and get a guy like Joe Alt. Like franchise altering players that aren't necessarily quarterbacks.
Like you think about like what the haul they could get for that number three overall pick. You get a team that again is horny for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like. Why wouldn't you want to go the 49ers approach and or not the 49ers? I think it was the Dolphins. The Dolphins approach and just stockpile your assets and then sign a veteran quarterback. Make a play at Baker Mayfield. Make a play at Kirk Cousins. Make a play at Russell Wilson if he's released, as much as I hate to do. But, like, you know, you make a move like that and you have assets to use later on. And because I think this Patriots team is not far away from being back in the playoff discussion, but they are key pieces away from being back in the discussion. And if you want to take stabs at those pieces, you're better off having those draft picks to do it.
If somebody wants to go to 10-3, that's going to cost them probably another first round pick.
More than that.
So no, I'm just saying at least another first round. So you're getting another first round pick, or you're getting probably capital in this current draft. You know what I mean? So yeah, I want them. If there's two quarterbacks that go before them, I don't want them picking the third. But if they like either or Daniels or May, if they like one of them and they would pick them independently, then yes, take them. Obviously, if both of them are there. But if you like Daniels and May falls to you, that's not justification to draft him. You know what I mean? I think that this is such a teetering time in the history of the Patriots that they need to nail this fucking draft.
Absolutely. Literally. Absolutely.
This could be what was it? The 2010, and then it was like the 2010, 11, and 12 draft. There was like three drafts in a row where the Patriots just restocked and it stocked their entire team for the 14, 16, and 18 championships, dude. So it's you need to have one of those generational drafts where you have three bona fide starters, one of whom is a difference maker out of this draft. That's what you need.
Yeah, you end up – if you can end up with a guy like Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, Rob Gronkowski, Jamie Collins. Tom you Brady. Get all – if you can get that in 2-3 years, you're right back in the thick of it. And, yeah, that's – we can table this for the offseason from here on out.
Sure,
but
we got a lot to talk about.
The last thing I want to see next year, Kojak already said it, because we are such big – CJ Stroud fans. I want to see the Houston Texans elevate again. That's my last point. Okay. I think Joe and I are in agreement, going forward, until the Patriots are relevant again, Detroit, Houston probably number one at this point, but seeing where they go with that.
No, I agree. I can't wait to see. Yeah. I can't wait to see the Lions play this weekend. It'd be sick to see them go to a Super Bowl. It'd be so fucking cool.
Absolutely. So let's move on to conference championship weekend here. Let's move on. We'll start with the NFC. We're talking about the Lions.
Wait, hold on. Before we go on the next week, do you want to sneak in the picks from last week real quick?
Cook.
Oh, hold on.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Are you done?
No.
He's just making more editing work for himself. It's all good.
We are fucking 21-3 in the postseason with our picks on the podcast. So actually, no, we are 25-3 because we added Burge. So we had Burge, myself, and Kojak all go 4-0 last week. We all had chalk picks, but I don't give a fuck. The Chiefs were not a chalk pick, dude. They were a 3-point underdog. They were a plus 125 underdog. So we picked against the spread there. So there was easy pickings, but we still made the pick, still got them all right. And then the only one we missed last week was Shy picking the Bills. Yeah, you knew that was coming, Shy. But we appreciate you, Shy, nonetheless.
We do appreciate you.
Thank you. I mean, 3-1 is not bad. You know what I mean? It's just not 4-0.
Just not the Bills.
But yeah, let's roll into next week. I just wanted to give a little shout out because we've been hot. We've been hot too. Because last week, it's not like, bro, we had me and you had the Texans, and we both had the Packers, and we both had the Bucks, which were all upsets.
Yep. There were a lot of upsets.
This week we're stat padding. You know what I mean? Shout out Carl Anthony Towns. Dude had 60 points and his coach benched him in the crunch time in the last 2 minutes. So funny. But yeah, dude, shout out to us. This is a little self-suck going on, and it's okay. Sometimes you have to do a little bit of self-care, a little bit of self-pleasure. It's okay sometimes.
Absolutely.
All right. We want to look ahead.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry. I had a little bit of fun.
We were way up here and you brought it down.
I had a peacock a little bit. I was backing up. I'm excited my boys are flourishing. We had Kojak give 4 picks and they all hit it. You fucking kidding me?
The first time in forever he's given more than one, right?
Well, I would just be like, hey, Kojak, you have the Ravens, right? He's like, yeah, no, yeah, 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 no, yeah, yeah.
Lions, Niners, Joe.
Dude, give me the fucking Lions, dude. Like I said, dude, I think the Lions, I don't think their defense is great, but I think their D-line and their front seven is cooking right now. I think if they get some pressure on Purdy, especially if they have some fucking weather up there, it could make it life difficult for Brock Purdy. So give me the Lions plus 7, dude. Give me the Lions outright. I like the Lions a lot in this game. I just hope that we get another good one.
I hope we get another good one, too. I have nothing more to say than what you just said. So Give me the Lions plus 7.5 and give me them outright. Absolutely. Kojak, yeah. who are you picking in this one? Niners or Lions?
Dude, I like the Lions a lot. When I was after high school, I did this volunteer program and I traveled the country for like 10 months, whatever. And this one girl I met, she's part of my, we got split up into teams and there was 8 of us. And part of this girl on my team, huge Lions fan, huge football fan. It was only me and her, so it was only 2 of us on the whole team that watched football. Whatever, huge Lions fan, and we've been talking about this throughout the season and what's been going on, and it's just crazy. I'm excited for them. I like history being broken, and they're doing that, and they got a good team. Hutchinson's crazy. He's a homegrown kid. Mm-hmm. I like to see I like that pan of him at the end, just soaking in the moment, seeing everything go down and whatnot.
That was cool as fuck, yeah.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot, so...
I it's love cool.
Brock Purdy's good. They got a stacked team over in San Francisco. You know, this is his second year starting, two NFC championships. Last year, obviously, he got hurt, whatever, but I don't know. I like all the teams besides KC. Fuck KC.
You guys,
Baltimore, I'll be cool. They're stacked. I would like to see Lamar get a ring, but give me the Lions.
You guys see that season ticket holder for the Lions who got like his season tickets in the 50s.
And he's like 1,000. Yeah.
He's really nice. Old, but he got it after the last NFL championship that they won. The season after that, he got a season ticket.
Oh my God, dude. Talk about false advertising.
I mean, like,
that's nuts.
I love seeing it. They keep showing him on the broadcast.
That poor bastard.
I know, but he's stuck by it. He's stuck by it.
I'm glad he's getting his shine.
This is the closest he's been. That's fucked.
Let's go. Let's go, Lions, man. I think I'm all aboard Lions, the Lions.
Baltimore. Come on.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. No. Baltimore, 100%. KC. Dude, I am. Dude, fuck KC's run is up, dude. They don't have the talent. They don't have the talent right now. Coach quarterback combo is leaning towards the Ravens right now. I like Harbaugh over Andy Reid, and I think the way that Lamar's playing, I think that the gap that you have between him and Mahomes is closing. If he can be fucking as efficient as he was last week, give me the Ravens. I think the Ravens are a favorite in this game.
They're minus 4.
Yeah, minus 4. So
one more time.
I don't know about the. Did I do it good the second time?
Yeah, but, you did. You did. Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, I just don't fucking. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about the 4 points, but I would take the Ravens outright. But yeah, fuck it. Lay the 4. Fuck it.
It's going to be a great fucking game. It's going to be a real good game.
What do you
think,
Burge?
Oh, I'm all aboard the Ravens winning this game. I'm all aboard them winning it. I think it's going to be close, though. So if I'm a betting man plus 4 with the Chiefs, I'll take the plus 4 there. I think it could be decided by a field goal, but I have the Ravens winning this outright and Lamar getting to a Super Bowl and seeing what he can do against the team of destiny. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Kojak.
Good. Fuck plus KC. 4? Stay. I don't stay the fuck away from any records that Brady has at Super Bowl. I don't. That's stay away from Brady's Super Bowl.
Yeah, so when he has to win 5 fucking more Super Bowls.
No, I know, but there's other records like passing yards, touchdowns, completions, whatever the fuck. I mean, they.
Do you understand?
And just
do you understand?
Brady and
do you know how far ahead of everybody else Tom Brady is, dude? He's like the only person with 100,000 yards passing.
I know. I'm just saying.
Listen.
There's an opportunity for him to help.
I'm gonna enjoy it until it gets close, and then I'm definitely gonna turn on him. Just gonna be totally honest. It's cool.
I can't hate bad. Like
if he gets to 5 football, if he gets to 5, I'll be
a player. That'd be nuts. Just stay the fuck away from my records.
If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, they are a dynasty. They are a dynasty. Oh,
yeah. They got to win this year.
They have to win this year. I think it would be 3-5, right? If they
3-5, if they don't win, if they.
They'd be the first repeat since the Patriots did it if they win this year. Yep. I don't want that. I want that 03-04 repeat to stand.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Okay, I can see that. But yeah, that's why I'm picking the Ravens outside of that. That now I have some vested interest because I don't want them to go back to back. I totally forgot about
fuck
that.
Fuck KC.
Oh, absolutely. I almost flopped those words.
But
Dude, you see, she might sue who made those AI pictures of her with the with the big old booty.
No, I didn't see that.
Dude, did you see those pictures of her with the big old red booty?
No. I did, yeah.
Dude, there's like pictures going around Twitter that like AI her like wicked raunchy in the stands, like bending over with like no clothes on, with like a big old red booty with like KC colors, and she's like thinking about like suing and trying to find like who did it and like suing them.
Hey, but you get one thing, a note I want to bring up on this game before we move on to our fun segment. The ref, Sean Smith, that's ref in this game.
I saw this.
Home teams are like 40% of the time when he's reffing games, and away teams win 60% of the time when he refs.
Wow.
And the NFL decided to assign him to this game. To further the narrative that they're trying to get Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl and to have all that coverage for the Super Bowl.
Dude, people
does that worry you at all?
No, she's going to cancel that shit and go to the Super Bowl, dude.
Does that worry you? Does that worry you as somebody that's a big Flock Boy Joe?
Yeah, it worries me, but I think that somebody figured it out now is probably a huge thing. Are you looking at the pictures?
No, look at this one.
Oh my god.
oh my god, dude.
Jesus Christ. Did you find the fucking Taylor Swift one?
No, but I found this chunky body with Trump on as the head.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Send that to me.
I kind of want that one too. Send it to the group, please.
Which one? The Trump or the black baby? Pause.
Both.
Pause. Dude, pause.
Oh, my God.
What is it going to do? Twitter's fucked.
Yes, dude, yes, dude, that's what I'm talking about.
They're all over the place. They're all over the place.
Yeah, but they're worse. There's worse ones. It's so bad. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, the whole fucking ref shit worries me. I'm glad they snuffed it out now. So hopefully the NFL isn't shameless about it. But I think there's a possibility in this game if KC gets rolling and if the Baltimore gets rolling and KC starts off slow like they did last week, this could be a little bit of a fucking, I don't want to say blow up, but a little bit of a runaway.
Totally agree with you. So we got our picks. You got them marked down there, Joe, so we can brag team. About it next week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll be peacocking again.
All right. Let's move on to the fun segment.
We want to go over to QB Catfish.
QB Catfish. I want you to try to school me again.
Okay. I got an interesting one this week.
Hey!
Hey, welcome to another round of QB Catfish! All righty.
Good God. Right,
so today, you guys know the rules, but so today we have two quarterbacks, player A, player B. I'm going to give you the year, the yards, the TDs, the interception, the completions, and the rating. You tell me which quarterback you'd rather have, and then I make fun of you when you pick a dumbass.
Don't tell me the data.
Pick Josh Freeman over Tom Brady.
I'm picking B.
You're going to pick B?
Okay. Don't tell me anything. I'm picking B.
Okay. All right. Well, player A. So player A, 2012, 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 64% completion with a 90 rating. And then 2014, player B is from 2014. 4,200 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 60% completion, and an 86 rating. Kojak, are you going to stay with your answer?
Facts, fuck it.
All right.
I'm not going to take Colin Kaepernick. So I'm going to go B. I think A is Colin Kaepernick.
All right, so A is Matt Schaub.
Is this the first time that you're agreeing with somebody
else?
Oh,
wow. Wow. Fuck. I misread that.
You didn't even take the opposite.
And then, so 2012, Matt Schaub, 4,000 yards, 22-12. And then 2014, Matthew Stafford is who you guys picked.
So dang.
You snuffed me out. But I had the.
Well,
I
Matt
had the,
Stafford, your old team's going to win this weekend. Sorry.
I had the. Ready for you guys.
Matt Schaub was an effective quarterback, though, when he played for the Texans. He was effective.
2012?
Yeah, it was one. Like, he had one good year.
Is that when Houston was scary?
Had, like,
shoot, Houston was scary in 2012. That was the year that's they came into New England with the Letterman jackets, and they got stuck.
Yeah. Remember, they had Arian Foster, dude. Andre Johnson. They were fucking good.
They were Arian good.
Foster has a sweet podcast with Barstool.
Yeah, macrodosing is dope. I like
it. And he can kind of golf, too.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Get him on this pod.
KP is okay.
Arian Foster, come on the pod. I think he probably listens.
Oh yeah, one of them. Oh yeah,
one of our loyal listeners.
You guys got anything else you want to touch on before we plug?
Yeah, Porzingis just rolled his ankle, so I don't think it's going to be too bad. So hopefully,
AFC 3 p.m. NFC 6:30.
Okay. Can't wait. I'm playing in a cancer charity hockey game at 4:30, at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Oh, so I'm God. Going to miss the You're first miss game.
AFC.
Which I only care.
AFC game's truly, early game word.
I only done the care game about you open the your NFC. Phone, you'll notice that Baltimore is going to Super Bowl.
Let's go. I'm all about it. All Where about
is it? Is it Baltimore. Local?
Yeah, it's at the Songus Arena in Lowell.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So I'll be there. Then I'll be home in time to watch the game that matters.
Yeah.
As much as I want the Lions to win and as much as I'm behind the team, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get as invested as I was last week. I'm going to try.
Yeah, but hitting the Bills is number one fandom.
I bet you will. It's a close game.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to watch it. I'm just saying I'll get into it. Yeah, if it's close, absolutely. But no, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So, anyways, yeah, absolutely. Anyways, we're brought to you in partnership with Primetime Productions at Primetime Prods on Twitter. Be sure to give them a follow. Check out all the content. And we thank you for listening to us for Conference Championship Preview podcast episode here, the Lions Crisco episode, if we want to call it that.
Yes, BTP podcast brought to you by Crisco.
Absolutely. We're still working on the official sponsorship. When we get it, we'll have the logo on the screen.
I'm just going to backcharge them. I'm going to backcharge them for all the fucking free ads we've given them. All right. Yeah. We'll do that going forward. I'm like, all right. I got a bunch of other shit I got to tell you about.
Joe literally covered himself in Crisco when Aaron Rodgers said he wasn't going to play another game. So he didn't get to go to the Ayahuasca.
When I saw him fucking throwing balls to practice,
still went on the Ayahuasca trip.
Dude, I'm not doing the Ayahuasca Hut.
Ayahuasca Hut sponsored by Crisco.
Now, okay, so if we can sell the bit, then maybe I'll commit.
Maybe
I'm not going out there looking for a sponsor for that, though.
Well, let's find a sponsor for it. All three of us will just go do it.
We'll give you a pile of Crisco.
No, okay, no, if you guys are coming, I'll pay for the whole thing.
All right, I'm in.
No, we got to make some real money on it.
Yeah, for real.
Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll do it all again next week. Preview the Super Bowl. Have a good week, fellas.
Love you guys.